The Bible says the word of God is a lamp unto our feet, and it is also a light unto our path. Amen. Amen. That means the more preaching you hear, the more light you have. Is it not the case? Because if the word of God is a lamp unto our feet, and if indeed it is a light unto our path, then the more of it we have, the more light we have for our path, for our lives, for our decisions, for our ways. The more preaching we hear, the more and brighter our paths get. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to continue sharing with you from the Word of God today. And I believe by the end of the service, you will have more light in your life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. My message is continuing from where I left off the last time. But let's pray first. Father, we thank you so much for today. And thank you for another opportunity to share and to hear the word of God. We're praying for a visitation of the Holy Spirit. We pray, O God, for your presence. We pray that your word will multiply. We pray that you will bless the message. Open our eyes, O God, to see wondrous things out of your law. In the name of Jesus. And anoint our hearing such that we can even hear things and see things in the message that are not even being said. I pray, Lord, that you bless us tremendously this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So we have been talking generally about devotion and commitment. How to be a devoted member. Amen. And I started by explaining the three different stages that we go through to become devoted members of the church. Amen. Yeah. And we said that there is the deer stage. You know, we talked about three animals that, you know, properly illustrate the stages that people go through. The deer stage, which is the stage where people are difficult to find, people avoid their pastor, people avoid calls from other church members. Basically, they don't want to be found and discovered. Nobody, when people are in that stage, they don't want to be bothered with too much God stuff. Hallelujah. Amen. Then as they progress, they go to the good stage, where the good stage is characterized by independence. You know, I do my own thing, you know, and stubbornness also, you know. No matter what you say, Pastor, I will not do it. You know, hallelujah. So it's not a good place to be. But we understood that the best place to be is to be at the sheep stage, isn't it? Because all the blessings of God are for sheep. Amen. They are for sheep. And the Lord says we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Hallelujah. Amen. That means if you're a child of God, he sees you as a sheep. Do you see? He likens you to sheep. He says, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you want to see that? Maybe I should show that very quickly to you. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. That is what the Bible says about us. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalms. You know, the book of Psalms. Right? I'm going to show you three of them very quickly. All right? Psalm 78. Start from Psalm 78 and verse 52. You know, just do this with me very quickly, because this is not my message, but I believe the Holy Spirit wants us to see these verses, very important verses, right? So, number one, Psalm 78 and verse 52. You know, who's doing this with me? He says, but he led forth his own people like snakes. Is that what it says? Huh? He led forth his own people like what? Sheep, and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. Hallelujah. Amen. So God relates with his people like a shepherd would relate with sheep or his flock. Hallelujah. He led his own people like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. Now look at the next one, the next Psalm 79, you know, Psalm 79 and the last verse, verse 13, it says, so we thy people and, you see, we thy people and sheep of thy pasture will give thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise to all generations. Hallelujah. So we, your people, and the sheep of your pasture. Do you see? So the people of God are the sheep of his pasture. Is it not the case? Right? Do you think he's talking about animals? No, he's talking about people. He says, we, your people, and the sheep of your pasture will give thanks to you forever. To all generations, we will tell of your praise. Hallelujah. Are you convinced? Oh, I should bring one more. Let me give you one more. Amen. So that number 95, Psalm 95 and verse 7. Psalm 95 and verse 7. Okay? And we can even add verse 8 to this one. He says, for he is our God. Amen. Maybe we start from verse 6. You know, verse 6. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Hallelujah. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Can you see that? It says, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before. There's a song like that. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hands, and the sheep. So long as the sheep is in the song, I am telling you the truth. Hallelujah. Amen. He says, we are the people. Look, if you are a child of God, you are the sheep of his pasture. And it is not an insult. You see what I'm saying? God is not trying to say that you are an animal. God is saying that we are his people and we are the sheep of his pasture. Hallelujah. So anybody who falls outside that, if your relationship with God is more similar to a deer or a goat, then you are missing his pasture. Because as we can see, there are no goats in his pasture. There is no deer in his pasture. And there are no snakes in his pasture. Hallelujah. Amen. Because snakes cannot be led. Do you see? I am sure everybody here has seen at least a photograph before of a human being leading a number of sheep. Have you seen a picture like that before? Right. Even if you haven't seen it, it's easy to imagine. But I don't think there's anybody in the service this morning who has seen a human being who is being followed by 11 or 12 snakes who he is guiding to feed. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, not even a fetish priest is capable of such a feat. Hallelujah. But I have one last one. So since we are there and I have it, I might as well show it to you so that you can, next time you're preaching, I believe many of you will become preachers. Amen. So next time you're preaching, you can show somebody, tell the person, I'm going to show you four reasons why you must behave like a sheep. Amen. Then you give them four verses. So the fourth one is in Psalm 100 and verse 3. Psalm 100 and verse 3. Well, again, we can read from verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Verse 2. Serve the Lord with what? Gladness. Amen. Serve the Lord with gladness, not with a sense of inconvenience. You see, not with an attitude of, what are they making me do? Do you see what I'm saying? Not, do we always have to go for choir practice? Do we always have to arrange the chairs in the church? Do we even have to come to church all the time? Do you understand? That's serving the Lord, but not with gladness. You're not excited about what you're doing. But God wants us to be excited about serving Him. Amen. Then He says, come before His presence with complaining. Is that what it says? No. He says, come before His presence with what? Singing. So God expects that when you are going to His presence, you go with a song. Do you see what I'm saying? Ideally, one of the ways you should recognize someone who is on his way to the presence of God is someone who is singing. Do you see? Yeah. We should get to the place where when we stand at the door, as people are coming into church, they are already singing. Hallelujah. They come to church with a song, with a glad heart to be here. Amen. But verse 3 is the verse you need to see, which is, he says, Know ye that the Lord, He is God. Amen. Amen. It is He that made us and not we ourselves. So as far as God is concerned, there is no such thing as a self-made man or a self-made woman for that matter. Hallelujah. Amen. So it is He that made us and not we ourselves. It is He that made us and not we ourselves. It is He that made us and not we ourselves means that we have no business worrying about our lives because we did not make ourselves. Do you understand? Then he says in the next line, he says, we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Hallelujah. Amen. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. So enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name because the Lord is good. Do you see? And you need to connect this line to everything you have read. God must have a reason why He's telling you, we are the people, we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. God has a reason for saying that it is He who made us and not we ourselves. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's like you invite someone to a restaurant, and when the person gets there, he's worried or she's worried. Say, hey, this food is very expensive. What are we going to do? You want to tell the person, I brought you here, not you. You didn't bring me here. I brought you here. So cool down. Do you see what I'm saying? I know what I'm doing. Is it not the truth? Have you not done something like that before? Yeah. Do you see? So sometimes you need to calm down and quench your anxiety by understanding that somebody has arranged all of this. Amen. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. And the Bible says, we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Can I have an amen? Amen. So the best level to be at in your relationship with God is at the level of sheep. You must be like sheep. Amen. Because all the blessings, God has pasture. That's what He has. Do you see? He has pasture. And He says the pasture are for the sheep. So a person who does not behave like God's sheep is not entitled to any of God's goodness which is often seen in the pasture that he has for his people. Hallelujah. Pasture is what God uses to satisfy his sheep. And the pasture belongs to the sheep. So if you don't upgrade your relationship with him to the level of a sheep, you miss out a lot, even though you may claim to be a Christian or be following the Lord. It is the reason and the explanation for many meaningless Christian lives. It is the reason why people go to church for a long time and they just quit because they're not experiencing the joy. Those who are sheep, the Bible says they come to the Lord with singing. You know, they have gratitude in their hearts and they are grateful to the Lord. They enter into his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. They are thankful unto him and they bless his name, for the Lord is good. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, for the Lord is good. There's another part where the person who writes these psalms says that, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. So some people are enjoying the Lord. Do you see what I'm saying? Some people are enjoying the Lord and having a great time in him. And others are not enjoying the Lord and they are not having a great time in him because they are not sheep. And they don't get to taste the Lord's pasture because they are not sheep. Do you understand? The Lord prepares pasture for his sheep and he leads them to it. But nobody can lead a deer. I told you about the deer I saw the other day. When he saw me, he just ran away. Even without knowing my intentions. Perhaps he's used to seeing people coming after him with guns. I didn't have a gun, but when he saw me, he ran away. Every deer has to find their own food. Every day. Every snake has to find what to eat. Every day. But sheep, the shepherd feeds them and brings them to the pasture. Hallelujah. So I pray that you will upgrade your relationship with God and your membership of the church to the level of sheep. You must be like sheep because God's provision is for sheep. Amen. Yeah. Not a now you see me, now you don't type of relationship with the Lord. But a relationship that is stable, that is constant, that is reliable, no matter what is happening in your life. Because there is nothing that is happening in your life that God cannot deal with. Hallelujah. There is nothing in your life that is a shock to God. There's nothing in your life that surprises God. There's nothing that happens to you that takes God by surprise. Do you see what I'm saying? Look, God is busy counting even hairs according to the Bible. Do you see? Matthew chapter 10 and verse 31. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 31. You see? Matthew chapter 10, where is that? And verse 30. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 30. He says, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do you believe it? Where is the verse, Pastor Munene? It's right there. Everybody read this verse together. 1, 2, 3, go. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Hallelujah. The very hairs of your head are all numbered. Then it says in verse 31, fear ye not therefore. Don't be afraid. Because you are of more value than many sparrows. Hallelujah. You are of more value than many bears. The Bible says that the hairs on your head are all numbered. Hallelujah. They're all numbered. Even when you attach some to it, God knows that more has come. Do you understand? Yeah. And if you are bald, that's even easier. God knows the number is zero. Anyone can count zero. Even you can count zero. You can trust that God can count zero. Hallelujah. So whether you are in zero or you have doubled it by attaching more to it, it doesn't matter. You see, no matter what it is, God, he says, the very hairs. Do you know anybody who has that much detail on anyone? Do you understand? Even you yourself, you don't have that much detail on yourself. You don't know how much hair you have. Do you know? You don't know how much hair you have. You only look at yourself and say, my hair is grown. You say, my hair is falling out. But you don't know how many you're losing. But God, He is counting every day. Do you understand? If God must be counting your hair, He must know your hairdresser. God must know your hairdresser. This person keeps adding and subtracting and adding and subtracting. Do you understand? 1 month she has added, next month she's taking it off. This person, God must know the person. Hallelujah. So I am just sharing these things with you so you can understand that it's important for you to behave like God's sheep. Say amen. Amen. Right. Then from there we went to talking about how to be a devoted person, a devoted member, a devoted sheep. And number one is that, how we can build a devoted membership, isn't it? Together, how can we make our members more devoted? And we said number one is that you must be devoted yourself, isn't it? Because you can't bring someone to a place you don't know yourself. Do you see? You can't bring someone to a place of devotion when you don't know what it is like to be a devoted member. Hallelujah. So that is number one. You have to be a devoted member yourself. Not just a member, but a devoted member. Amen. Number two is that you must say positive things about the church. Is it not true? You have to speak well of your church. You have to say good things about your church. Amen. If you enjoy your church, you have to say it. Hallelujah. You have to say to people that I enjoy my church. I enjoy my church family. I love the people in my church. Hallelujah. So you need to say good things about the church itself. Lighthouse Chapel is a very good church. Amen. Since I joined Lighthouse Chapel, I have never decided or thought of leaving Lighthouse Chapel. Because since I've been in this church, it's been a blessing to me. Hallelujah. I've found many great friends in this church. I've found many great things in this church. I've had many great preachings in this church. One of the things that attracted me to this church is the simplicity of the preaching. Do you understand? For the first time, I went to church and I could understand the Bible. That the Bible was not this mystery book. You see, up to today, some people have a wrong notion of preaching because of many years of listening to the wrong kind of preaching. You see, listening to preaching that they cannot understand. To the point where one day somebody said, I think the bishop was preaching somewhere, and then somebody said, "Is this preaching? Is this preaching? I can understand it." You know, in other words, if it's preaching, you're not supposed to understand it. If you can understand it, then it's not good preaching. It must be mystical and it must be a mystery. As the pastor is preaching, you must be dazed. And your the appropriate response from you, sleep. Then you know that you have been to a church. Do you see what I'm saying? But I went to church and I saw how simple scriptures were explained and broken down. And the Bible came alive. Then I began to get interested in the Bible. I began to see that the Bible is a book you can read. You can actually take the Bible and read it and enjoy it. Because somebody has helped you to understand the scriptures. That is one of my attractions to the church. Hallelujah. Another reason why I love the church is that I feel, you know, a sense of youthfulness and energy. You know, I'm excited about it. And I'm excited about a church that is moving forward, a church that is planting new churches in my lifetime. Do you see what I'm saying? Because I grew up thinking that a church is not something you start. It's a church, it's something you join. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, a church is not something you start. Churches are already given, you see, and you arrive in life to come and join one. Do you see what I'm saying? But I was excited to find out that I can actually be part of starting a church. I mean, you get into a room with three or four people and say, it's a church. And then you start working on it and start building it and start preaching and start developing it and working on it until it becomes a room full of people. You know, it's an exciting experience. It's an exciting experience. And I'm so blessed to be part of a church that has done that not once or twice, but 1,500 times we have done this thing around the world. And by the grace of God, it's still continuing. Are you getting what I'm saying? So it's a blessing. And you need to say good things like that about the church. Many of you do not know the church. You don't know Lighthouse Chapel. And I invite you to go to the website and discover the church. Do you see? And one of these days, we're going to have a Know Your Church Sunday. And we're going to go through the website in the church so you can see and understand and know the church and appreciate the church and love the church so you can commit yourself properly to it and be a devoted member of the church as you ought to be. Hallelujah. Amen. Tell your neighbor he's talking to you. Yeah, so this preaching must be for you. Tell your neighbor. Hallelujah. Next one is that you must say positive things about the pastors. Amen. You must say good things about the pastors. Hallelujah. You have to say, come and hear my pastor. Hallelujah. If my pastor has the best preaching in town. Amen. You should say that my pastor has the best preaching. Amen. Because I told you the other day, your pastor's preaching is the best preaching for you. Amen. Just like your mommy's food is the best meal for you. Hallelujah. He's not the only person who cooks, you know. He's not the only one who has preaching and who has messages. But where you are concerned, his preaching is the best for you. Just like a child's mother's food is the best one for that child. A child's mother's breast milk is the best one for that child. You don't have a baby here and you put the breast milk over there. No, it's not how it is. It works. Hallelujah. So you have to say good things about the pastors. Amen. And we have good pastors in our church. Hallelujah. We have good pastors in our church. Hallelujah. We have our faults. We have our shortcomings. But we mean well. Do you see what I'm saying? We are sincere and we are not trying to con people. We are not con men. Do I look like a con man? What does a con look like anyway? Hallelujah. But even if I look like one, I'm not one. I'm announcing to you this day that be ye known unto you. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. Be it known unto you this day that I am not a con man. Hallelujah. We're not trying to con you out of something. We're not trying to get money out. Yes, we take two offerings, but we have a good reason why we take two offerings. Amen. We have a good reason. And I always tell you the reason. Don't I tell you the reason? Yeah, we have a good reason why we take two offerings. And if you don't have money, you shouldn't be angry with the offerings, how many offerings have been taken in the church. Rather, you should pray that God will bless you so that you can be a part of this giving. Hallelujah. Because the Bible says it is more blessed to give than to receive. You are always more blessed when you join the giving side than when you join the receiving side. And there are many of us who are very, 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 very stingy, never give anything to anybody, not just in church. The church is just one of the places that you practice your stinginess. But this, how much time do you spend here? I mean, your stinginess runs throughout your life. Nobody can get anything out of your hand. And if you are like that, you see, the hand that is closed and will not give is also closed and cannot receive. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. I was listening to a song on my iPod this morning, and the song was saying, God was talking to someone and asking the person, what do you have in your hand? Then he says, what's that you have in your hand, or something like that. And then God says, I can use it if you're willing to lose it. Do you understand? God can use what is in your hand if you are willing to lose what is in your hand. But many people, they don't want to lose what is in their hand, but they want God to use it anyhow. Say, bless what is in my hand, but I won't give it to you anyway, not even to bless it. You see what I'm saying? It's like, Lord, find something else and bless and add to what I have. But as for what I have, I will not give it to you to bless. Do you see? But God gives you opportunities to sow seeds. And those seeds are what God blesses. There is no farmer who reaped anything except from the seed he was prepared to lose. the seed that left his hand and which he put in the ground is the seed that enters his future and creates a harvest for him. Do you understand? The Bible says those who go forth in tears. Let me show you that verse. Those who go forth in tears, bearing precious seed. I think you should see that verse. It says, those who go forth in tears, bearing precious seed. You know, he that goeth forth in tears, bearing precious seed. Do you see? Shall doubtless come back. You see, Psalm 126 and verse 6. Let's read it. Everybody read this verse. He that goeth forth and weepeth. Do you see? He that goeth forth and what? And weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Did you see that? So sometimes giving is painful. Sometimes giving to, not just giving, forget about giving in the church, but giving anything to anybody, blessing somebody, giving to a cause, helping something, is very painful. And the Bible says, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing a seed that is precious to him. But you see, it's a seed because it's going to be planted. Do you understand? He's bearing a seed. It's precious to him. He needs it even more than the person who he's giving it to. But he's giving it anyway. The Bible says that person shall doubtless. Doubtless means less doubt. Doubtless means without a doubt. The person will come back again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Hallelujah. The sheaves are his harvest. Many of us don't have any sheaves because we never sowed our precious seed. Our seed was way too precious to us to sow it anywhere, to give to anybody, to bless anybody, to be kind to anybody. Even to give a ride to someone is a seed. Do you understand? To give a ride to someone is a seed. And life is not just having money, 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 money. Life is not just money. Life is not just more pay, more pay, more hours, more pay, more hours, more pay. There is more to life than more pay and more hours. Are you getting what I'm saying? Life takes a complicated mix, a sophisticated mix of different blessings that assemble around a person to cause that person to have a meaningful life. And you need to sow seeds that generate all these blessings. Because all of us have all kinds of curses and all kinds of frustrations. And we are not all born on the same straight line. Do you see what I'm saying? We're not all born on the same straight line. 100 meter dash, everybody is starting here and we are all starting from here to the end. That's not how life is. Some people start here and some people start over there. You see, some of us start in the minus. We start greatly disadvantaged. And some people spend their entire lives trying to come from minus even to zero. By the time you get to zero, your life is even over. You are not able to cross the zero line even into some positiveness and into changing and seeing things you've never seen in your family before. But your life just stays like that. All you've known is this. And that is what everybody has known in your entire family for as many generations as you have known them. And God gives you a chance to change that cycle. God gives you a chance to change something about it. And you need to have blessings. You need to have blessings that cancel out your curses. Do you see what I'm saying? Because blessings and curses, they are like debit and credit. You see, the credit is the blessings. The debit is the thing. So you start to map them one to one. One blessing to one curse. One blessing to one curse. If you have more blessings than curses, at a point the curses are finished. You see, and the blessings remain. You still have 6 blessings left and your curses are finished. So you end up blessed. But the case of most people is that the blessings are way too short and the curses are like that. So even when you do the one-to-one, one blessing cancels out one curse like that. One-to-one. When you finish, now the blessings are finished, the curses are still going down. And so you see that in spite of many things that are a blessing that have come into your life is still a frustrated life. In spite of a great education, which is a blessing, in spite of getting one of the best jobs, a dream job,
Do you see? In spite of being married to one of the very best people a human being can be married to, as good as they come. Broad chest, eyeglasses, good height. Huh? Good appetite for eating your food. A Christian who comes to Lighthouse Chapel International, that is as good as they come. And you still see that your life is a frustrated life. It's not a life you like very much. Because you don't sow seeds. You see, you are not bringing in any sheaves. You are not bringing in sheaves. You are still carrying your seed because it's way too precious to you. But anything you are not prepared to lose can never multiply and come back. I tell you, anytime you see a farmer smiling, he's smiling because some years ago or some months ago, he lost something. He went out there, he put his seed in the field and came back home without it. He came back home without it and came to live in expectation. Then one day, finally, his harvest showed up. Hallelujah. So you must live a life that you must schedule harvest. Some of the things you do, you won't see the harvest now because there's no seed that you plant this morning and reap in the evening. It's not like that. But you schedule seasons. You schedule seasons of harvest today and tomorrow. Today you are reaping something from some time ago and tomorrow you are reaping and you are sowing today. When you stop sowing and you stop sowing, you also schedule seasons of reaping nothing. You schedule periods when nothing good is happening in your life because you haven't sown anything like that to reap it. That's just the way the life it works. That's how the world works. We came to meet it. And it will not change with you. Do you see what I'm saying? We came to meet the law of sowing and reaping. Do you see what I'm saying? It's a law that God put in place. You didn't create it. It's not my idea. It's bigger than any of us. And it's going to be around long after you and I are gone. And it's a law we have to respect and live by. Otherwise, our lives will never be as meaningful as God intends for them to be. Can I have an amen? Amen. So I said all these things just because you were angry when I said offering. So tell your neighbor it's because of you that he was preaching all these things. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? So I'm saying that we need to say positive things about our pastors. Amen. Next one, we need to say positive things about what? About our church members, isn't it? We need to speak well of our church members. Hallelujah. So if you're a member of Lighthouse Chapel, you shouldn't say, these Lighthouse people, they are like this or like that. No, you shouldn't talk like that. You are rather some way. Do you see what I'm saying? You are the one who is spoiling our church. Hallelujah. But I believe that some of the best people you could have for a friend, for a brother, a sister, are right here in this church. Hallelujah. They are right here in this church. The Bible says there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. There are people who will be to you what even your siblings will not be to you. People who are prepared to do for you what your siblings have never dreamt of doing and will never do for you. And you know it. There are people who can love you and care for you like their own blood brothers and blood sisters. Is an amazing fellowship. Hallelujah. And I thank God for all of your lives. Sometimes I look at the fellowship around. I look at people helping people. And I wonder, did they know themselves before they came to this church? Do you see? And I it's a question I ask often. Did this person know this one before they came to the church? And often the answer is no. They met in the church. And yet you see how close they have become. You see friends, people who talk, they meet, they are going shopping together, they are fellowshipping together. This one is helping another person. What a blessed fellowship. Hallelujah. A blessed fellowship of good. It's a good place to put your hands together for the Lord. I tell you, you see, blessings have to be counted. If you don't count your blessings, you will never know how blessed you are. Hallelujah. So say good things about the church members. Hallelujah. Now the next one is to help. Let's help our church members to find employment and to find jobs. We're talking about how we can create a family of devoted members. Amen. And one of the next thing we need to do is to help one another to find jobs. Hallelujah. That means if you know a place where someone can be hired, if they are hiring people at your workplace, if you can see opportunities somewhere and you know it, you need to share it with other church members. Can I have an amen? Yes, and that's going to make people devoted to the church. Because you cannot easily leave the church through which you found your job. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, you can't easily stop coming. Because you know there's some good there. Hallelujah. So look at the verse, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. The Bible says, as we therefore have opportunity, as we therefore have opportunity, as we have therefore opportunity. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Can you see that verse? The Bible says, when you see the opportunity, when there is an opportunity, when you have the chance, Magdalene, the Bible says, be good to all men. So that is general. Do you see? So you can't accuse me of saying that we should be good to only Lighthouse people. Do you see what I'm saying? But the Bible says you should be good to all men, regardless of what church, what background, whoever they are. Once they are humans, be good to them. But the Bible says especially. What does especially mean? Eh? Define especially without special. In particular, isn't it? Yeah? In particular, he says that you have to be good to those who are of the household of faith. That means those who share a common faith in the same house with you. Are you getting what I'm saying? He says you have to, and yet I'm not saying it, it's the Bible. He says that you have to be good to those who are in the household of faith. Those who share a common faith with you. You need to be good to them in particular. Especially those people, you have to be good to them. What do you think? What do you think? Yeah. I believe you understand that I have to be good to anybody who begs of me or anyone who gives or asks me to give them something, isn't it? Yes. But you think, especially my children, don't you think so? Huh? Is it not the case? What is there? Oh, my beard. This is my special golden beard that has started to come. Amen. Do you understand that? Yeah. So you can understand that I have a responsibility to be good to everybody. To be good to anyone that I have the opportunity to be good to. But you do know that, especially the ones I brought into this world, I have to be responsible for them. Is it not the case? Yeah. So it's the same thing. God imposes a general responsibility for goodness to all men on all his children. But especially to those who hold the same faith in the same house with you. That's what household means. Do you understand? Those people, you must be especially good to them. Can I have an amen? Amen. So if you know a place where someone can, even when you're driving and you see now hiring, and you know of people in the church who do not have jobs, you need to park your car right there, get on the phone and say, you know, I was driving past this place and they said they are now hiring. Do you see? Why don't you come? Or you even take the forms. Go in there and get the forms. The person comes to church, sits next to you, or during the praise and worship, Gloria says, let us go around and welcome one another. You meet the person, say, I have something for you. I have something for you. Come, come, come. You bring the person to the back there. You give the person the forms. The pastor thinks you are sharing verses, but it's forms for a job. And that is okay. Hallelujah. It is okay if you know where they have reduced the apartment rent. They have reduced the rent. They are doing 3 months free in this apartment complex. Yeah. You need to come to the household of faith and talk to the members of the, are you happy with where you are staying? Okay, is your contract up? Is your lease? And you're going to find somebody whose lease is up, and you say, "Look, I know this place where they have reduced their rent. They are doing 3 months free rent," and you show the person how to get to that place. Hallelujah! Because the person belongs to the household of faith. Hallelujah! You're driving around, you see a car for sale. And you know people in the church who could use a car, or people in the church who are looking for a car to buy. You need to. Look, Brother Michael, I always think about him. We were looking for a car together, I tell you. We were searching, myself, Michael, and Pastor Munene. We were on Craigslist, I tell you, car after car, examining the car. I said, "Pastor Munene, what do you think?" Until Michael went to find this car he's now driving. He went to find it in some corner somewhere. Then he said that we should go and look. We got in my car. We drove and drove and drove, and we got to the place. We looked at the car. We checked out the car. We looked at the car. You know, the guy said, "Some computer, something, something is not working." I said, "Michael, this car, I don't have faith." In the end, Michael said, "Pastor, I have faith. I think that it can work." So he said, "Okay, let's get it." Because he bought one before, and 3 days after that, 3 days after that, the transmission was gone. Hallelujah. You have to be good to the household of faith. If you know somewhere someone is selling a car, even your colleague at work is selling his car because he's hard up and he's looking for some cash. You have to tell him, "My friend, you hold on, give me two days, or give me up to this weekend. On Monday, I'll find you a buyer." And you come to the church and you say, "Do you need a car? Do you need a car? Do you need a car? Do you need a car?" You don't, "Oh, so nobody needs a car. Look, I have found this car. It's really good. It's my colleague at work. I can talk to her. She'll reduce that thing. Even the payment terms. You see the thing. You can take one this month, another one next month, another one next month. Are you interested? I'll sort it out for you." You are being good to members of the house of faith. Yeah. And you know, one day somebody will be good to you too. See, you may not need a car. You may need a beloved. You see, one of my points I'm coming to is marry one another. That's another point I have over there. Do you understand? Yeah. Because one day you may not need a car because you already, the way, like my son says, the way life is set up, the way your life is set up, you already have a car. So what you need and what means something to you is not a car, but you need someone who knows someone, who knows someone, who needs to know someone you would like to know. Do you understand? Yeah. See, and sometimes it just takes one person, just the thought will click. How about this person for that person? Gosh. And I'm telling you that destinies are created by that. See, that's how I found this one. Yeah. Somebody she knew, whom I also knew, you know that there could be a knowing of each other. Do you understand? Yeah. And there came a knowing, and you see, and that's how these ones were formed. You see, so sometimes you are shaping destinies by a simple introduction. Are you getting what I'm saying? And there's nothing wrong with it. You see, stop thinking that there's something wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with it. Everybody meets someone somewhere through someone. Even if you meet them in a nightclub, you should thank God for the one who made the nightclub. If he had not made the nightclub, you would not have gone there to find a place. Even though I wouldn't recommend that you choose your wife from a nightclub, because you marry her in the night, and then when day comes, you see that you are not happy with what you chose. Has it happened to you before where you choose something in the night and in the morning? I thought it was white, not knowing yellow. You see, yellow also looks bright at night. So nightclub, even though it's a nightclub, no, you should, at least if it has to be a club, find a day club. If it has to be a club. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? So I really want to encourage you, be good to the members of this church. Amen. If someone comes to church and experiences some goodness, they never forget it. You know, you see someone you've never met before, talk to them, relate with them, bring them home, give them a ride, drop them off somewhere, at the bus station, at the train station. Be kind to people, because you never know when you will also need someone to be kind to you. And when you have sown it, even if it was precious to you, sometimes you spent your seed, your precious seed was actually in the form of your precious time or your precious money or your precious gas gauge. You see, you know how sometimes the gas gauge is on empty and you don't know how you're going to fill it. And this person is still asking for a ride. So you decide to be good to the person anyway. It, that may be precious to you, but you don't know when another person will be kind to you, which will cause you to bring your sheaves in with smiles. Hallelujah. The Bible says he will doubtless come back rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Sometimes you shouldn't blame people for being happy and for enjoying the things they have. Because you don't know what seeds they have sown. What precious seeds and what tears went with sowing those seeds. Hallelujah. See someone driving his car and he has opened the sunroof and the sun is coming and he's feeling good. And you are standing by and saying, this guy feels too good. You don't know how he came by that blessing. You see, that's your standby the roadside opinion. But you don't know how the person has helped people, how the person has pushed people's cars. You know, someone gives you a ride in the car and the car is not working. He doesn't tell you. Then when the car, you know, will not start, they say, you should get off and push the car. So you get off the car, stick shift, and you push the car. Say, help him to push it around the corner there. And you are struggled. And finally, the Lord has blessed you with your car, with your sunroof. Remove the roof and enjoy it. Because the Bible says you will come rejoicing, bringing your sheaves with you. Can I have an amen? Then the last point for today. The last point for today is that point I gave you. Well, I said you should encourage members. Okay, so the last point is marry one another. Amen. Encourage people to beloved those one another. In our church, we use the term beloved because that's in the Bible. See, girlfriend is not in the Bible. I find it. If you find it in the Bible, come and show it to me. So I like to use what is in the Bible, isn't it? Beloved is in the Bible. The Bible says, I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. Do you understand? The Song of Solomon is full of such terminology, you know, which are very, if you're writing to a beloved, you can go to that verse and then just get some nice wraps and then, you know, your hair is like, you know, then you copy it and put it in an email. And you put under source, Song of Solomon 6 verse 7. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Then the last one is, we need to encourage ourselves to socialize with each other. Amen. That means if somebody is having a party, we must attend it. Amen. If somebody has a reason to be happy, we must join them in their happiness. On the other hand, if someone has a reason to be sad, they've lost a loved one, they've lost a relative, and for that reason, they're sad, they're having a little gathering, we must also join them with that. Amen. That's how to build a solid family of devoted members. Hallelujah. So we must, don't say when it's someone's turn and they're having their party, you say their house is far. When you were having your party, we all came to your house. Now another person is having a party, you say their house is too far. Nobody's house must be too far for anyone. Hallelujah. Amen. If they live there and they come from there to this church, they are telling us their house is not too far. If the church is not too far from their house, then their house is not too far from anybody in the church. Can I have an amen? So when people are having, because it's very painful to have a party and nobody comes. Do you understand? Yeah. Is it painful when they come late? Do you see? Because they have you thinking they might not come. They might not come. They might not come. And sometimes you look at the food you have cooked. And you start making plans and start thinking, you know, these people. No. So if someone is having a party in the church, someone has a reason to celebrate anything. It's their engagement, it's their party, it's their birthday, or they have a baby, they are celebrating. Someone is having a baby shower, someone is doing this or that. Rejoice with those who rejoice. That's what the Bible says. You know, rejoice with people who are rejoicing. And we need to mourn also with people who mourn. Can I have an amen? So it is very, very important. Have your friends in the church. They say that people join a church or may join a church because the preaching is fantastic. What keeps them in the church is the relationships they form in the church. That is the reason why when people quarrel with one another in the church, they leave, even though the fantastic preaching is still around. Do you see what I'm saying? Because the fantastic preaching brings them, but what anchors them to their seats is the relationships they form in the church. Hallelujah. So when we create things that allow and foster these relationships and allow these relationships to blossom and do well, people tend to stay in the church and the church grows into one big happy family. Hallelujah. Are you blessed this morning? I think I should end my sermon at this place and next week we shall continue. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord and stand to your feet as we bring the service to a close. Hallelujah. Wow. Bow your heads with me, please, everyone, as we pray. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Everybody just pray for a minute or so and just say, Lord, I thank you for my church family. Thank you for this new family you have placed me in. Thank you for the friends you have given me. Thank you for all the people I've come to know since I joined this church. Thank you for the pastor. Thank you for the brothers and sisters around me. Thank you for all the people you have surrounded my life with. And pray that the church will be full of devoted members, starting with yourself. Say, I'm going to be one of those who are devoted, a devoted member, not just a member, not just someone who claims to be a member of Lighthouse Chapel, but a real devoted member of this church. One who can be counted on, one we can rely on, one we can trust, not a betrayer. Not someone who destroys the church, not one who creates factions in the church, but one who brings people together, one who unites even feuding factions in the name of Jesus. Pray that God will use you to be one who mends relationships, one who brings people together in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Everybody just pray and say, Lord, we are grateful to you. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your blessing today. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you, Lord, for making us sheep of your pasture, people for whom you have provided your blessing. I pray, Lord, that we will continue to be faithful. Let this church be full of faithful people. We pray for faithful members, faithful people in the church, from the front all the way to the back. Let this church be full of faithful, reliable people in the name of Jesus. Thank you for this great work and thank you for giving us a chance to be a part of it. We're grateful to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now, let me give you an opportunity this morning. If you're here and you want to give your life to Jesus, you want your sins to be forgiven. You're saying, Pastor, pray with me because I want my sins to be forgiven. I want to be a child of God. I want to take God seriously. I want to serve God properly. Just raise up your right hand and I'll pray with you. Is there anybody here like that this morning? You want to give your life to Jesus. Is there anybody here like that this morning? Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Why don't we all just say this prayer together? Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. I believe with my heart that you are Lord. And I confess with my mouth, God raised you from the dead. Come into my heart, Lord. Forgive my sins. cleanse me from unrighteousness and make me a child of God. Help me to live for you. A good example of a child of God. A good example of a good Christian. This is what I ask, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen. You may be seated, please. And we shall receive our tithes right now. You have your tithe and your...